One author writes of how practiced most of us are at resisting joyful feelings to protect ourselves from disappointment. She uses the phrase foreboding joy. That's how she describes it. This hoping for joy but expecting disappointment kind of feeling. Another writes, instead of attacking my 2021 goals, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. And I'm flow charting worst case scenarios. That's a person experiencing foreboding joy. I think she's probably not alone. After the year that's passed, there's probably many that are wondering when the shoe will drop this year. What the worst case scenarios will be this time around. Many that are maybe feeling the foreboding joy even as they enter into a brand new year. Maybe even some in this room. A sense of foreboding joy that would define and describe how you feel now and how you're looking ahead into the year that's upon us. Jesus says this in John 15. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And then he says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Can I encourage you in that this morning? Foreboding joy, that's not what you and I have been given. Jesus didn't die for you. Jesus didn't die for me that we could live in a foreboding. I'm hoping it's all good. I'm expecting it to be all bad. I'm hoping for joy, but waiting for disappointment. No, no, no. Foreboding joy, forget about it. Your destiny, his promise to you, in him, through him, because of him, you can have joy and your joy can be complete. I would ask you the question, did joy, you living in joy, complete joy, is that how you would define your life in 2020? If not, why? His joy was in you so that your joy could be made complete. Why didn't you live in that? What did you choose to live in instead of that? Was it better? Did it feel better? Did it make life better? My guess is no, no way. So again, why did we do that? Why do we do that? Why didn't we, why don't we choose to live in his joy, complete joy? And can I encourage you this morning, no matter what this year holds for you, no matter what awaits you, even more of the same, even worse, doesn't matter, even if it's that, you can live the coming year, your life in him, because of him, defined by joy. His joy in you, complete joy can be yours. It's found in Jesus as we live our lives in him, a love for him, an obedience to him. The message is simple for the coming year, for all that would lie ahead for us. It's Jesus that makes all the difference. We don't need this year to be a certain kind of year. I know that's how we talk. That's how we say. We're hoping that the year will be this. We're hoping that the year will be that. For this year to be a successful year, it's going to have to be like this. Or maybe we think of it in light of what things are going to have to happen this year. This is going to be a good year. These things will happen. It's going to be a successful year. These things will happen. I'm just going to tell you this morning, we don't need the year to be a certain kind of year. We don't need a particular list of things to happen in the year or not to happen throughout the year. We just need Jesus. That might sound simple this morning, but listen to me. That's the simple truth today. We just need Him. And no matter the kind of year it is or then becomes, no matter the list of things that happen or don't happen, we can have joy. We can be strengthened, renewed, and revived even every day, day by day, throughout the year because of Him. Isaiah 33, it's the Lord that's exalted, supremely esteemed, very great. And it's Him. It's God that will be the sure foundation for your times. It's the Lord that will keep your days stable and secure. It's Jesus that will be your safety and that will be your joy. We don't want to just survive the year ahead. We're not called to that. We want to thrive in it. Live life victorious, more than conquerors, every minute even of it. Beginning this year, looking ahead into the new year, looking ahead into even the years to come. We don't want the foreboding joy. Jesus didn't come to give us that. We want His joy becoming ours, making our joy then complete throughout the beginning of this year, throughout all of the year to come, and even every other year that's going to come. We want our inner man. We want our spirit, our lives in Him to be getting stronger and stronger, even if outwardly everything seems to be wasting away. How do we do that? Last Sunday, we began, know God. If you live each day, every day, through the filter, if you can consider each and every day through the lens of knowing Him, His character, His authority, His presence, His power, His care, His blessing, His goodness. If you can do that each and every day, no matter then what each and every day would hold for you, even for all that remains of the year, listen, He will be for you a sure foundation. Your days will be lived in stability, safety, and security. This morning, along with knowing God, we chase God. I believe it's true. No matter what mess the devil, life, even you yourself would get yourself into this year, any year, each and every day, any and every day, each and every year, any and every year, you can be victorious, joyful through it all. You can stand firm, immovable, steadfast, unshakable. You can be safe and secure, renewed, strengthened in every circumstance, in any circumstance. If you will make the Lord to be your sure foundation, if you will know Him, if you will chase Him. In Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Verse 5, in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Verse 13, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the psalm, there's salvation. In the psalm, there's the declaration, I will not be afraid. My heart will not fear. The psalmist understood David in all of his trouble. David with all of his problems. He understood that there was available to him a life lived void of fear. The Lord is my light. The Lord's my salvation. The Lord's my stronghold. Of whom then should I, would I ever be afraid? Not only was there a lack of fear, there was an abundance of confidence. It's in verse 3, though an army besiege me, though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. The message says it this way: when besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. The Living Bible says, my heart shall know no fear because I am confident that God will save me. In verse 2, there's victory. My enemies stumbling and falling, not me. Don't you feel, don't you sense the need for that, especially in our culture, in our day today? Don't you feel that all too often it's you, it's me, it's those in the Christian faith that seem to stumble and fall? It's Christianity that's attacked, and at times seems to be sort of up against the ropes. Partly, even if you will, beaten and defeated, can't catch a break. Just it's one blow after the other, and Christianity seems to stumble. Our brothers and sisters seem to stumble and seem to fall. Don't you sense it's time? Come on now, it's time for the enemy and the enemy of our faith and all that stand opposed to the things of God and to the way of God. It's time for them to stumble and to fall in defeat. In verse 5, there's safety. In verse 6, there's exaltation of me over my enemy. There's joy. There's the sound of victorious singing. In verse 13, there's the goodness of God that's seen and that's experienced. In Psalm 27, all of that surrounds this one request from David. Verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And this one declaration in verse 8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do you understand? Choose today to chase him. Choose today that each and every day you will do more of the same. You will chase him. And surrounding your life, just as it surrounded David's life, will be the Lord's salvation, will be his victory, will be his goodness. Hear him say to you today, seek my face and respond, oh Lord, your face I will seek. And watch as all fear dissipates, confidence comes, joy is made complete, and safety and security and stability made yours. Chase God. Let me share with you a few things related to that this morning. Number one, first, see him. Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. There's nothing like seeing him, beholding him, his power, his glory, his majesty, his love, his grace. There's nothing like a fresh glimpse of Jesus to get you to chasing after him again. If your heart isn't in on the chase, I would tell you this morning, it's because you're not seeing him like you should, like you need to be. Be reminded today. Remind yourself today. Spend time in his word today, in those things, in those scriptures that would remind you of who he is and what he's like and what he does, that would help you to see him again. For David in Psalm 63, in verse 3, he sees that God, his love is better than life. See him on the cross. The one who loved you ere you knew him. The one who loved you enough to die for you, though you were his enemy, still yet a sinner. His life that he gave for you even then, when you were like that. See him today. The one whose love is better than life. Do you see that? Do you see Jesus and his all-consuming love for you? Do you see God who so loved the world that he gave Jesus? This is how we know what love is. This is how we know love. This is how we experience love. That while we were yet sinners, doesn't that still resonate in your heart? Do you see him, the Savior of the world, the God of all humanity, stretched on Calvary's cross for you? Can you see it today? Do you see him like that for David? In Psalm 63, he sees that God, he's the one who satisfies and brings satisfaction. But don't you know that's true? Can I remind some of you this morning? The wasted years you spent trying to find what else maybe would satisfy. What else could satisfy? You were looking to this, and then you were looking to that, and at every turn, again and again and again, nothing that brought the satisfaction that you were seeking, until all along you discovered that Jesus was there waiting for you to turn to him so that you could know him, the one, the only one, who truly and completely satisfies and fills that longing within us. Do you see that? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you turned to Jesus and found, this is what I've been looking for? I thought it was here. I thought it was there. I thought it was in the relationship. I thought it was in the work. I thought it was in the money. I thought it was in the status. I thought it was in the pleasure and the entertainment. I was looking here and there and everywhere. And now you discovered in that moment, maybe at an altar, maybe in a friend's living room, wherever it was that you were, and all of a sudden you discovered, oh, but it's Jesus who satisfies me. Do you see that? Do you remember that? Do you recognize that? Does that still resonate in your heart? I know you've been a long time in the faith, but do you still understand that it's Jesus? It's only Jesus that can satisfy. For David in Psalm 63, he's the God who helps. He's helped you, hasn't he? Time and time again, he's met you in your need, provided for you exactly all that you needed. In your sin, you needed grace and mercy. He's given it. In your weakness, you needed strength. He's provided it. In your worry, you needed peace. In your grief, you needed comfort. In your despair, you needed joy. And he gave it all to you. His peace that passes understanding. His joy unspeakable. His comfort for all your troubles. In your frailty and brokenness, you needed healing. And by his stripes, he's given you that. In your loneliness, you needed a friend. And he's been to you the one who sticks closer than a brother. It's true. Listen, it's true. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he's all I need. And no wonder, because he gives to me, he provides to me all that I need. Do you see it? Do you see him? Listen, this is the danger, my friend. In light of the problem and what you still need for him to do for you today, you miss seeing him and all that he's done for you already. Isn't it true? But I need him to be my healer right now. But I'm still sick. But my body's still hurting. But the relationship is not made right. And all of a sudden, all that he's done and all that he's been seeing Jesus, the one who has helped you, you miss it. You can't see it. You can't see it clearly because today's problem is in the way. See him today. For David in Psalm 63, verse 8, he sees that God is the one who upholds, the one who gives the victory and the reason to rejoice. Let me read you this morning to get you to turn your eyes to the God of Scripture. In Genesis, he's the breath of life. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the God who purifies and cleanses us. In Numbers, he's the cloud and the fire, our ever-present guide. In Deuteronomy, he's the coming prophet greater even than Moses. In Joshua, he's the conquering hero that leads his people to the promised land. In Judges, he's the judge who rescues his people. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the sovereign God. In Ezra, he's the true and faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder and the restorer. In Esther, he's the protector of his people. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he's the Lord, our good shepherd. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's the God of purpose and the very meaning of life. In Song of Solomon, he's our faithful lover and our coming bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the Spirit that writes God's laws upon our hearts. In Lamentations, he's the God of faithfulness whose mercies are new every morning. In Ezekiel, he's the river of life that brings healing to the nations. In Daniel, he's the God that rules in the fire, the lion's den, and over the nations. In Hosea, he's the forever faithful God despite our unfaithfulness. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. He's the Spirit baptizer, and he's the restorer of all the locusts have eaten. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary God of compassion, redemption, and revival. In Micah, he's the God of peace and justice, and the one who throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. In Nahum, he's our strength and our shield, and the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Haggai, he's the God who revives and renews. In Zechariah, he's the pierced one who every eye on earth will one day behold. In Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. Do you see him? Do you see him today? In Matthew, he's the King of Kings. In Mark, he's the Son of God. In Luke, he's the Savior born to us in the city of David, Christ the Lord. In John, he's the Word become flesh, dwelling among us. In Acts, he is Christ, the risen Lord, proclaiming salvation to the nations. In Romans, he's the justifier, the very grace of God and righteousness of God. In Corinthians, he's the power of love. In Galatians, he's freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's the God who meets our every need and gives us reason to rejoice. In Colossians, he's preeminent God who is supreme in and over everything. In Thessalonians, he's our comfort in the last days and our soon coming King. In Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, he's our mediator, our faithful pastor, and our blessed hope. In Hebrews, he's our great high priest. In James, he's the great physician who still heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's our chief cornerstone, our faithful shepherd. In John and Jude, he's our advocate, our lover, and the one who keeps us from stumbling. In Revelation, he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, the great I Am, the bright and morning star, the one who is called faithful and true, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, our Savior forever. And he is the one who is victorious once and for all over the devil, his antichrist, and false prophet. And he is the one who creates a new heaven and a new earth so that we might be with him forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him a hand this morning. See him today and worship him. See him today for who he is, for what he does, for all that he's revealed himself to us to be. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing, always present God. He is God, and there is none above him. There is none beside him. He's the creator God who from nothing can create everything. And he's the God who loves you and who's with you and who's for you. He's the God who knows you by name, who gave his son up for you to bear in your place the punishment of your sin so that he could make you to be his own, his son. His daughter, do you see him? Listen to me this morning. If you don't see him, if you can't, you won't chase him. If you don't see him as he is, listen to me this morning. Be very, very careful, my dear brother, my dear sister. I can assure you that the image of Jesus left to be created by you or me, the image of Jesus that the world would create or the devil tried to create, he's not worth chasing. Oh, but if you see him again today as he is, as he reveals himself to be in his word, as he is in all of his glory, like Isaiah, if you could see the Lord high and lifted up, exalted on high, all that he is, all that he does, I believe it, you would hear your own heart say, seek his face. And without hesitation, you would declare and respond, oh Lord, your face I will seek. See him. You'll see him. You'll see that he's worth the pursuit. He's worth the chase. Number two, desire him. Now that you see him, set your affections on him. You see him. Now make him to be the thing your heart wants above all else. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, you know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego included in that. Captured in Israel. Israel taken into captivity, Judah as well. And Babylon bringing the best and the brightest, right, into Babylon to serve the king. And Daniel and the friends, part of that entourage, if you will. And you know the story of Daniel chapter 1. They're to be presented to the king, and they need to look healthy, and they need to be ready to respond to the king and for the king to recognize this is what we need in Babylon. But Daniel, in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Other translations say it this way. Daniel, he resolved, he determined, he made up his mind. He purposed in his heart. One author writes, our English word purpose derives from the old Anglo-French verb meaning to propose. When a man proposes marriage to a woman, he says, it's my purpose to spend my life with you and with none other. The advantage of such a proposal as it transitions to a life purpose is that it eliminates a multitude of decisions that might present themselves. Anything that conflicts with one's purpose in life is not even considered or shouldn't be. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself in a pagan land. Setting our desire upon God, we purpose in our hearts that today. We purpose in our hearts to chase after him. We make that our life purpose. We resolve ourselves to that. We make up our minds that we will do that. We determine to pursue him. And in that purposing within our hearts, we eliminate any and all decisions that would present themselves to us that would be contrary and in conflict with that one purpose of desiring him so that we might chase him. The author who wrote concludes, how would you describe your purpose in life? And then he finishes, make your future easier by declaring a clear purpose today. We do that. Listen to me. Today, right now, here in this room, we make our 2021 easier. We make our 2021 the best it could ever be. We do it today. How so? By declaring our clear purpose, our all-consuming desire. We will chase him. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Paul purposed in his heart. Paul resolved. Paul determined. Paul made up my mind. One thing I do is how most of us are used to hearing it. One thing I do, I press on toward the goal of God's call in Christ Jesus. One adds related to that. No doubt Paul had many goals. Be faithful, be disciplined, be generous, be loving. But they all served his one all-consuming purpose to press toward God in Christ. That's what we do today in desiring him. We make him to be the objective of our lives, the singular purpose, the singular goal. We make him to be the one thing. We see him, and now we determine we want him. We determine to desire him. We set our affections on him. He's the one thing that we want above anything and everything else. That's the declaration of our desire. And we determine today we will not allow the distractions. In Psalm 139, we read David's prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Can I tell you this morning the offensive thing? The offensive way? It's the divided desire. Rather than the all-consuming desire for him, the singular objective of him, rather than the one thing of pressing towards him, we've desired many things. We're chasing many things. He's on our list, but really it's just that. He's on our list. This is the real truth, the hard preaching for just a minute. Sometimes he's the thing that becomes the distraction to obtain the other thing, and we even set him aside. We choose the overtime over his presence. The goal of more money, he gets set aside. We choose entertainment over his word, over prayer. The enjoyment of our time is the goal. His word, time spent with him, gets neglected. He gets set aside. We choose sin. We want to do that. We want to talk that way about them. We want to treat them like they treated us like that. We want to treat them the same. What we want is the goal. He gets set aside. Psalm 51, David's prayer. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The language David uses, we could say it this way, his prayer that should be ours. God, create in me a pure, create in me a clean, create in me an unmixed heart. No divided desire of devotion. Instead, singularly focused and purposed in desiring God. The old course went like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Do you remember? And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you see him clearly, listen to me, dear brother, sister. If you see him clearly, you'll desire him only, because the things of this world, every other thing, will grow strangely dim in light of all that he is and all that he does. Finally, this morning, really the heart of the message, chase him. Listen, determine today that this will be the year, even each and every day of it, that you go after God like you never have before. Chase him. Know him better. Know him more. Get to know him. Make the time. Take the time to know him more. Read his word more. Study it more. Spend more time thinking on it, meditating on it. It's his word, after all, that would be a lamp and a light for our path. Chase him. Pray more. Pray harder. Pray longer. We considered it this past Wednesday. We called it the original intent of prayer, the purest motive of prayer. Adam and Eve prayed. Adam and Eve spent time with God. Adam and Eve talked with God. We called it prayer. But they didn't pray about problems because they didn't have any problems. They didn't pray. They didn't talk to God to get help for their trouble because they didn't have any trouble. They met with God to talk to him, very simply to connect with him. It's the original intent. It's the purest motive of prayer. Talk to him. Spend time with him in prayer simply so that you can be with him, so that you can connect yourself to him. Don't miss the purpose of prayer that would be that. Don't miss chasing him in prayer. Listen, in light of those things, hear me, dear brother, dear sister, this morning. Chase God. Don't let your devotional life look this year like it looked last year. Chase him. Go after him. Read more, study more, pray more. Do something different as you determine today. I'm going after God like I never have before. Be a better worshiper. One says God will move heaven and earth to find a worshiper. When you begin to worship with all your being and desire, your heart turns toward him. You capture his attention and you attract his affection. Don't you want that today? Every day, go after him in worship. Every day, go after him in praise and adoration and declarations of his greatness and his worship worthiness. Doesn't he deserve that after all? A couple of weeks ago, we heard it from Jim. He's our ark of safety after all. He's the God who gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Who else does that for you? Who else are you going to worship because they do that for you? No one. He's God that's good, and what he does is good, always and only good. His heart is kind towards us. He's ever faithful to us. Who else is like that to you? Who else died for you like Jesus did? Who else are you going to worship? He's the God who's sovereign, who rules and reigns with all authority and power, King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, isn't he worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the worship? If he's worthy of it all, then surely even every day would not be enough time spent worshiping him. Can I just ask it, simply put, did you worship Jesus yesterday? Did you lift your voice in a shout of praise? Did you spend time magnifying him, glorifying him? Did you declare, God, you're good? God, you're the all-powerful God. Did you worship him on Friday? Did you worship him at all? He's deserving of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And my fear is that some of us have gone through the week without worshiping him, maybe even once. But he's deserving of it all. Chase him. Do more for him. Follow after him. Walk in his footsteps. Go where he's going. Do what he's doing. I believe it's true. Sometimes you can chase God by simply chasing what he's chasing. Think of that for a moment. One author calls him the hound of heaven. He chases after the sinner that he might show them his mercy and grace and give to them new life. You do the same. Do you understand if you're chasing after the sinner and you know God's chasing after the sinner that you eventually end up finding yourself chasing after God? God's heart is for the widowed, the orphaned, the poor, the downtrodden, the discouraged. Let your heart be for the same. Do you understand? As you begin to chase after them, to speak words of life and encouragement, show benevolence and kindness, that as you begin to chase after them, you eventually find yourself chasing after the God who's also chasing after them because his heart is for them. Chase him. Let your life be consumed with him. Your thinking, your talking, how you act, what you do, how you respond. I want my life, I want every aspect of it to look like it's consumed with Jesus. My fear, some don't even know that I have a relationship with him. And my heart cringes at the thought. I want my life consumed. I don't want to walk into a place but the people understand and recognize that the presence of the Lord has come near, has been in that room. I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to talk with someone except that they recognize and realize that they've encountered the presence of God. I want my life to be consumed with him like that, and I fear all too often it's not. I fall so far short of that. Be filled with him. That's the Spirit. Listen to me. Receive his Spirit today. Listen to me. Be baptized in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. Listen to me. Pray in the Spirit. Be a good steward. Listen to me, dear church. In an aspect, full disclosure, that's a weakness in our midst. Listen to me. Be a good steward of the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. You got to hear me today. Declare the prophetic word. Speak the word of healing. Speak the word. Show the discernment. Come on, when was the last time there was a message from the Lord in a heavenly language for this body? When was the last time there was the prophetic word as one was given the interpretation? Do you understand this morning? Be a good steward of the gift that God has given to you. Don't be afraid. Go for it. Let God use you. Let God, by his Spirit, build up this body with the gifts that he has brought and would desire to be manifested in this place. Chase him. Chase him here. Can I encourage you, have the mindset that nothing will keep you from the house of God. Psalm 42, David will write, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Other translations, when can I go and meet with God? When can I go and worship in your presence? Let that be the question of the chase for you. When? Oh God, when can I meet with you again? When can I meet with you next? The psalmist will often ask the question that we're a lot more familiar with and comfortable with asking, how long, O Lord? How long, Lord, before the help comes? How long, O Lord, before the deliverance? How long, O Lord, before my enemies are defeated? How long, O Lord, before the wicked are punished? It's a valid question, but it's not the best one of the Psalms. Instead, this one would be, how long, O Lord, before I can come and meet with you again? How long, O Lord, before we can gather in this place and celebrate your goodness and hear your word and have experienced in our midst the presence of the Spirit of God? At work, chase him, get closer to him. To get closer, it's to turn our hearts towards him in a way that transcends any momentary need. Jesus didn't just die so he could help me when I'm sick or in trouble or I need some help. He died so that he could be my friend and so that I could come closer to him despite my need or lack thereof. To get closer, it's undistracted devotion, it's unshared dependency. It's to seek him with all of our hearts. It's to seek him first, even to seek him alone. To get closer, it's to experience him. Not just hear about him, not just learn about him, but to experience him, to encounter him in a supernatural way, his presence, his spirit, his power. To get closer, it's to delight ourselves in him, his will, his way, his word, his commands. We delight in it all. We delight even in submitting ourselves to it all because we delight in him. It's to be his friend. He's ours, isn't he? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. But to get closer is to consider the friend that we are to him. One writes, a savior is someone you need. A king is someone you admire and respect. A general is someone you follow and obey. But a friend is someone you know and love. Jesus, he's our savior. Oh, don't you know we need him to be our savior? And listen to me, he's the king. He is our Lord and our God. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. We better learn what it is to admire, to respect, to live in reverential awe and a healthy fear of the Lord. And he's our commanding officer, as it were. He commands and we obey. But along with being all of that, he's our friend. We know him. We love him then. Chase him. Chase your Savior. Live more and better in his salvation and who you are in him and who he's made you to be in him. Chase him as your king, the almighty God. Live more and better in that fear of the Lord. Know him as your Lord. Live more and better in an understanding of what it is to obey him. Obey him right now. Obey him immediately. Obey him quickly. Do all that. Just don't forget this. Chase him, your friend. Know him. Love him. Oh, may we set our hearts today, even every day, to chasing him, getting closer to him. And watch this, even as we do it today, as we get closer today, as we get closer this year, even closer than we've ever been before, may it be that we ever hear his beckoning call still, get closer. Hear it today. Get closer. Do that. Get closer to him today, but know tomorrow you'll still hear his call. Come on. Get closer. But Lord, I thought yesterday, no. Get closer. Come closer to me. Hear it today. Do it today and tomorrow and the next and the days to come. Don't stop. Don't settle. One is written, there is much more of God available than we've ever known or imagined, but we've become so satisfied with where we are and what we have that we don't press in for God's best. Don't do that. Don't settle. Don't be satisfied. Listen, in the heart of the chaser is that ever holy dissatisfaction. No matter how close we are, we're not close enough. More, more, more. Oh God, more of you. Closer, 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 God, to you. That's the chant of the chaser. May it be yours. May it be mine. New life, may it be ours. One writes, make no mistake. There's one place and one place alone to which Christ wants you to be when it comes to him. One place. Where does God want you to be? One place. You ready? Here it is. Closer. That's where he wants you. That's where he calls you to today. That's where he's going to call you to tomorrow. Closer, closer. Come closer. See him. I pray for each of us today before we leave this place. Every single one of us. Oh, may each of us get a fresh glimpse of Jesus today. If you see him as he is, I know it, you'll make him to be the one thing your heart wants above all else. Your purpose in your heart, I believe you will, to turn away from all the distractions. And with undivided desire, you'll set your affection on him. If you see him clearly, you'll desire him only. I pray that for each of us today, that the Lord would create in us a clean heart, a pure heart, an unmixed heart. He's not on our list of desires. He is our one desire. Him and him alone. I pray that for us, that the Lord would turn our eyes upon Jesus again, so that the things of this earth, all the things, would grow strangely dim and our hearts become consumed all consumed with a desire for him. If you see him, desire him, you'll chase him. And I leave you with this morning. Listen to me. In chasing him, you will find him. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. To delight in him is to know him and to get closer to him. It's to see him clearly, desire him desperately, chase after him wholeheartedly. And the promise of Scripture, when we do that, when we delight in him, he will give to us the desires of our heart. And what did we make to be our desire? Him. We delighted ourselves in him. We saw him and we determined that he and he alone is going to be our heart's desire. When we delight in him, he gives us what we desire and delight in. He gives us himself. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, prosper you, not harm you, give you hope, a future. Then you'll call upon me, come pray to me, I'll listen to you. You will seek me. And you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. James chapter 4, come near to God, and he will come near to you. We see him, we desire him, we chase him, and the result, we get to find him. He lets us find him, and he gives us himself more and more and more and more and more and more of himself. We chase him, and he begins to chase after us. We draw near to him, and he comes near to us. Listen, do you understand? Track with me here for a moment. Let your life be filled with trouble. Tomorrow, coming week, every day, even of the 300 some that remain. If you would choose today, though, to chase him, listen, even every day, choose to chase him. Do you understand? You will find him in the midst of your trouble. You're panicking, growing fearful, getting discouraged. No, no, no. You're chasing him. And because you are in the midst of your trouble, you're finding him. And all the way back to Isaiah now, you're finding the one who would be for you a sure foundation. Keep you safe, stable, and secure. Do you understand? You will draw near to him, and the promise of Scripture, he will draw near to you. God will draw near to you. This God that we know from last Sunday, this God who is good and always and only does good, this God who blesses with an abundance, this God who's the all-powerful God, who has all authority, who rules and reigns over everything, this God who is the Almighty, the El Shaddai God, this God who is the Most High, the El Elyon God, this God who is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in excessive love and faithfulness. This God who is the provider, who is the healer, who is Yahweh Shalom. This God who is peace for his people. This God who is your friend that sticks closer than a brother. This God who is your Abba, your Father. Listen to me. Every day of this coming year, you choose to draw near to him, and this God will draw near to you. Let your life be filled with trouble. Let the year be more of the same. Let it even be worse. If you chase him, forget the trouble. Your life will be filled with him. And then, no matter the trouble, no matter even the worst of this year, he will be for you each and every day a sure foundation. Each and every day, he will keep you safe, stable, and secure. Father, this morning, I pray, O God, with all my heart, help us to see you. Open our eyes. Help us to see Jesus today in this place. Oh God, would you fill this room and show us your glory? Show us your power. Reveal to us your love for us, your grace, your mercy. Give us a glimpse of heaven like the prophet Isaiah, where we see the angelic hosts singing, holy, holy. Give us a glimpse of your holiness. Give us a glimpse of your righteousness, your justice. Help us to see Jesus today. We want to see Jesus today. And God, would you put within the heart of each of us, as we do, an all-consuming desire for you. We see you. And because of what we see, oh, we want Jesus. We desire you. Make it to be the things of this world begin to grow strangely dim. I pray it. I pray it. I pray it for my distracted brother. I pray it for my distracted sister. Let the things that distract them, let the things that have mixed their heart, let them be gone. Let them be dealt with at this altar, left here at this place. So with a clean heart, a pure heart, an unmixed heart, we would desire you and you alone. And may all of us, may we take up the chase today so that we would find you. And as we chase you each and every day, no matter what each and every day brings, in the midst of it, we find you. And there's safety and stability, security that comes. You become for us a sure foundation each and every day. God, would you meet with us in this place to do that? I pray in Jesus' name. I pray that this morning, each and every one of us walk out of this place with a fresh glimpse of Jesus. We see him. We've seen him this morning. And because we have, oh, we want him. Our desire is set on him more than anything else, more than everything else. And so today, more than ever before, we start the chase. Listen to me, church. I pray that every single one of us, church, listen to me. I pray that we as a church, we go after God like we never have before. Let's go after him. We'll find him. We'll find him. And he will meet with us. That's the promise of his word. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Would you stand this morning? I want to pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord today on the authority of God's word? We've done this for a while, but this is not tradition. This is not just a way to conclude. This is the authority of God's word. Under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, in accordance with God's word, I speak his blessing over you. I declare it over you. As you go from this place, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and be good to you. The Lord turn to you. And I pray it every day of this week until we come again next Sunday to receive it once more. And he give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you receive that? Would you say amen this morning? Amen.